The Ray D'Arcy Show on Today FM.
Corona's on Today FM, ladies and gentlemen, particularly the ladies. Brezzy! Very tall, isn't he? Very muscular. Very muscular.
Haven't got the heels on today.
Do you work out? You do?
A little bit, though, yeah.
Good to see you.
How are you getting on?
Thanks for coming out. Have you been to Ballybunion before?
I've been here a few times, yeah, many times.
What, gigging or...?
Gigging, I played a bit of golf here. I'm not much of a golfer. I lost 12 golf balls in that course, so right. Shows that. And that's not, I mean, I'm guessing it's a tough course, but no, not a golfer.
So you're back on the telly with Brezzy's Teenage Kicks. I was watching it this morning, and it looks like the antithesis of The Voice.
Kind of is, to be perfectly honest. Yeah.
And so you're going down to sort of disadvantaged parts of Limerick, and you're trying to put a band together. That's it, really.
Yeah, well, we initially went down and we set up auditions, and we went through kind of youth services and youth clubs in Limerick. And I think about 70 people turned up. And we at the time, I thought it could be a rock band, it could be whatever. I didn't know what it was, but we just got a lot of singers. And so we ultimately then had to decide what type of band it was going to be. And a lot of these kids, they're just teenagers, they just don't get it. Enough of a chance to do anything. And I just felt it was something, I think if you empower teenagers, they can do really incredible things, and that's kind of what the aim of it. And I was watching like the promo, and it was like trying to find the next big, we're not trying to go out there trying to find the next big band. We're trying to actually, I think in society especially, we've just disconnected from teenagers massively, and it's a great documentary to be part of, because I think it kind of outlines some of their problems that we seem to ignore as adults.
Do you reckon the people who came along to you there, they wouldn't audition for The Voice, or would they?
No. I doubt it. No, I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, it is an entirely different show. It couldn't be more different. I know singing and music's at the core of it, but it's, you know, the voice is quite structured. You know exactly what you're getting. You know when it's coming. People know, because they've seen The Voice, how it works. Yeah. There was no structure to this whatsoever. It was me going down with a couple of mates that I trusted to kind of look and see what talent we could get. And to be honest, the band that I ended up being put together is so far away from my comfort zone in terms of music. So it was a big challenge for me as well to kind of meet them halfway.
Because the bit I saw, a good few rappers.
Yeah, there's a scene there, you see. There's a kind of a rap scene in Limerick. And the good thing about that is, like, with rap music, and, you know, I know I do like good rap music.
No, not
about rap music. But the thing about it is, it's the way they were communicating. That's how they communicated. And I felt, like, I said, well, listen, if I'm going to do this, then I'm going to have to kind of bring what I know, and you're going to have to meet me halfway with it. So, yeah, I tried to rap on a few occasions. The Midlands accent doesn't allow itself very well for gangster rap, to be perfectly honest.
People think it's very easy. People think it's just talking.
It's not. I think rapping's really, because it's all about flow. And now I only know this now. I have all these buzzwords like flow and like, but yeah, it is. And but it's also about, I found one thing about Limerick rap that I didn't like was it was too fast, and I couldn't understand what they were saying. I said, well, why don't we just slow this down a bit? And they went, what?
Yeah.
Slow it down. And then they start, that's a terrible Limerick accent. You think after working there for 9 months they'd have a better accent, but...
Do you think, how is Limerick going to come out of this? It's 3 1-hours, is it?
Yeah.
3 1-hours.
Yeah.
And again, it's putting the spotlight on disadvantaged areas in Limerick. And I'd say a lot of people in Limerick go, would you just leave us alone?
Yeah, well, the thing with that is, people saying that, watch the show. Watch it. Before you start doing the Irish thing and judging something before you hear it or see it, watch it first. Because that was in the back of my mind. And the reason I had decided that I wanted to go to Limerick is because my personal experiences there through rugby and music had been so positive. And I'm not from Limerick, and it annoys me when I see, you know, like in Ireland, we just found a city now that we can label and we can go at. Whenever there's crime rates, yeah, Limerick. The crime rates in Dublin are 10 times worse. Yet we never mention Dublin all the time when we talk about crime. So I just felt Limerick was a little bit, you know, that whole side of the media perception that we have was wrong, and it was about exploring that. And you know there are disadvantaged areas in Limerick, but the reality is they have a sense of community, and you could go out to Dublin and go to one of the suburbs and some people don't even know who their neighbours are.
Right.
There's a huge community there, and that's what we highlighted. And we also highlighted that these teenagers that we never give chances to, actually if you empower them, they can do, as I said, really incredible things.
Because I know you're involved in that, the High Hopes Choir as well. You visited them.
Yeah.
And so I'm involved in that, just in the voiceover. But one of the things, the message that's coming through, and you've just said it there, is the power of music. And like, I can't sing, so I'm sort of left out of that.
I'm not a great singer either.
No, I know, but you can hold a note.
I'm milking it here.
You can hold a note. But is that a load of waffle, or did you see the power of music?
No, but I mean, there's this huge movement called musical therapy now. There's people studying it all over the world. There's an amazing course in Limerick that one of the guys in the Blizzards, actually, Lynchy, is studying at the moment. Music therapy is massively powerful. I think you have to like music to get a therapy out of it. If you hate music, then it probably won't
help. Don't get me wrong. I love music. I just can't do it. Yeah.
No, but like, you don't have to be able to do it. Like, I went to the High Hopes Choir and I sat down and I was watching them, and you could just see the reaction, their personal reaction. It's about, whether it's music or sport or whatever, it's about self-worth. It's about feeling that you know you're contributing to something. And I think with music, especially even learning an instrument, like, it took me years to learn guitar, but once I figured it out, it was actually one of the most incredible feelings to be able to sit there in a pub with your mates, you know, wherever you are, down in Doolin or whatever it is, and you take out a guitar and you start strumming it. It's a brilliant, it's something that, you know, you should really look at.
You're sort of fast becoming a sort of a spokesperson for, what would you say you're a spokesperson for?
Bullshit.
No, it's not. Because we get emails in about you. You've appeared at a certain school, given a talk, and they're sort of always...
I think that was born out of my own experiences. As, you know, as a 15-year-old, and still to this day, I struggle badly with generalized anxiety issues and panic attacks. When I say badly, I mean, I was an insomniac for nearly a year. I was losing my hair as a 16-year-old, 15-year-old. I was going through hell, but I was achieving. And I was captain of my school team, and I was doing okay in school. And so it was kind of the anti-stereotype of what we assumed this was. So I always felt that if I ever got to a position, like with the voice or whatever, that you have profile, that I'd like to use it. Because when I was a 15-year-old, I was on my hands and knees hoping someone would say something, but no one ever did. And I felt unbelievably isolated, and that was the worst part. So I just felt if I ever had that chance to kind of talk about and normalize it, it's so normal. It's like depression and anxiety is unbelievably normal. Like, I mean, we're in a room with, I don't want to prejudge here, but, you know, 40 people, and you can guarantee half of them have had some direct or indirect affiliation to depression. So why do we still ignore it so blatantly? It's just, it's you know, I started a blog called my1000hours.com.
Yeah, tell us about that. What's the relevance of the 1000 hours?
People keep asking me. Part of it was initially the Malcolm Gladwell 10,000 hours theory of, you know, if you do anything 10,000 hours, it's an expert.
But was this 1,000 hours?
1,000 hours, yeah. No, I forgot the last zero was a typo. My 1,000 hours was the idea that with a depression and anxiety, I think you have to be really patient. You know, a lot of people who get it for the first time or start feeling it want it to go away overnight, and it won't. You have to.
What is
to
1,000 hours in days in...
Oh, I have no idea. But like, when I say it, it's not literally like you count it on your watch and when it
comes. Yeah, I know.
It's kind of the idea that it took me a long time to figure out the best route of dealing with my own issues. And I think people, that's the idea of my 1,000 hours. Don't rush it. You know, it's a journey. But the only way you can actually find ways of dealing with it, whether it's medication, meditation, you know, in my case, physical activity, whatever it is, people around you have to be aware of what it is you're trying to achieve. So your family need to know, your peers, your friends, colleagues. You need to just shout it from the rooftops. And I think in my case, because I was on a television show, I had to inform the public because... I was petrified.
So you actually had an anxiety attack on The Voice, did you?
Before it.
Before.
I remember I had probably the worst one of my life, about 20 past six, in my dressing room, and we were on at 6:30.
And we've spoken about this on air, and we've talked to people who've written books about it. So it's... I've never had one, luckily, but it's like a sense of impending doom. You think you're going to die, you think you're going to have a heart attack.
The best word, there's only one word you need to describe it. It's terror. It's absolute terror. It's just... It genuinely is. And my dad would always say, no one ever died from a panic attack. And that's kind of a nice thing to say. And another great thing that was said to me is, if you ever feel like you're going to have one, say, right, you've got 20 seconds to happen. And if it doesn't happen in 20 seconds, you can feck off. And that really helps. That's dealing with it. But this particular one I had was brought on by the idea that if it happened live on TV, the first reaction people would have had in Ireland that the Brezzy is crazy. That's what they would have said. The large majority of people who haven't dealt with panic attacks, and I just didn't want that to ever happen because that would just compound the stigma even more. So I decided, right, I'm going to tell the public this is something I deal with on a, you know.
So that is that odd. Isn't that odd? So you have panic attacks, and then you have panic attacks about having panic attacks.
Yeah, but that's how they work. They're totally irrational.
But
they
that's make no yeah. Sense, when you know. You say it like that, that does prove that it's completely irrational.
I heard that lady, the psychotherapist, on with you there a couple of weeks ago, and she said, like, if you have claustrophobia, just feck you into a cupboard.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, no, that's not how it works.
Well, yeah,
generalizing anxiety disorder is there all the time. When you lie in bed and there's nothing to worry about, it's there. When you wake up to have breakfast in the morning, it's there. It happens all the time, and that's what makes it so, you know, difficult to deal with. But the reality is, it's unbelievably dealable with. It really is. Yeah. If you ignore it and disguise it and you're ashamed of it, it's not. It's really hard to. It'll consume.
So you have to speak out, get help, seek help. Let the people around you know you're suffering.
Let the people around you. I don't know. A lot of people are saying, you know, speak out and you'll be grand. You won't be grand. It's still hard to deal with, but it becomes a hell of a lot easier.
Right. You're going to stay with us. 53102 for your text. You can send us emails to ray@today.fm.com. Brezzy's staying with us. We take a quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show with Toyota Quality Service. For the care your Toyota deserves at a more affordable price than you'd think. Toyota, the best built cars in the world.
Brezzy's Teenage Kicks tomorrow night at 10 o'clock on RTE2. And what I've seen, it comes highly recommended from here. And you enjoy doing it. Yeah. And you think they got something from it?
Unbelievably. I did too as well, to be fair. Right.
I want to thank Brezzy for his work in mental health. People need to be constantly reminded that they're not alone and there's always someone they can talk to. And there's an absolutely fantastic anxiety program at St. Patrick's Hospital. If it cured me, it'll cure anyone, says that person. And Brezzy always comes across as a very genuine, down-to-earth and sound guy who genuinely cares for others. Keep up the good work, Brezzy. And Brezzy is definitely doing okay for himself by bagging that gorgeous Roz Purcell. Just when you thought all our listeners were lovely, sincere, intelligent people. Yeah. Fair play to them for doing great work for mental health as well. it's 41 days, 41.66 days, just for your information.
That's not so long.
Yeah. So Dermot O'Rourke is back with us. Yep. When we were passing around the sausages, I know I promised you some sausages and then I forgot about you. So we have them back there again.
Thank God, yeah.
So you can go through the yellow one there if you want to. That's Kelly's Meat, Kilrush, County Clare. Ask Brezzy about interrupting Champions League games in Merville UCD playing his guitar. Was that you? Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I got a bit carried away.
Did you? Right. How was that one?
That was nice, yeah. I liked it. Are you into it?
It's very sausagey. Do you know, it's just a good sausage.
Yeah.
They're not trying too hard. And
they're not being fancy.
No, I'd like to complain about your sausages.
It's
too sausagey. Yeah. Well, this is the one that isn't a traditional sausage.
Oh,
there, that one there.
Take it, all right.
That's the pink one there. And that's from Premium Foods, Callan, County Kilkenny. That's the pudding and thyme sausage there.
Oh, now we're talking.
Yeah. You like that?
Yeah.
You like that?
It's crushing yum.
Katrina, Mary and Tony didn't like that at all.
Katrina, come on.
Yeah. Ask Brezzy if they're showing other people that auditioned on tomorrow's show. A young girl auditioned, didn't get through, but meant a lot as your feedback to her was so positive.
Yeah, of course we are, yeah.
Yeah, you are. That's the worry, isn't it? That you don't get to everybody. And The Voice is coming back in January.
Yeah.
And you have two new coaches.
We have, Una and Rachel.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're grand. Rachel's lovely, the most loveliest girl. She's so small, though.
Is she?
I keep getting pushed
Everyone's
out.
Small in your world,
but I know,
Brezzy.
But I keep getting pushed out of all the photographs. Yeah. I'm being superimposed in all the Voice shots now because they're like, Brezzy, you don't have to come up for the photo shoot. That's a nice way of saying you're too lanky and you're not working on the shots.
Una's kind of little as well, though.
She gets away with it.
She's about 5 foot six, I'd say.
Yeah,
is she
about 5 foot six? Yeah. Mm. And what about, will you miss Dolores?
Oh yeah,
I'll miss her.
Oh, the chats I used to have off camera when you know they're all getting camera angles, and she'd say the stuff she said to me. I'm like, I don't think she invents her own language. Even it's amazing.
Right,
I love it. But she was very calming, I think, for me, especially considering
calming?
I was having panic.
Dolores Reardon calming. Yeah,
she kept bringing me around hugging trees around DCU. Genuinely hugging trees. I thought that was just a phrase, but I was here. People do this. She says it's very liberating.
She's so like, you hug trees with Dolores
Reardon all over the place in DCU. Right. Yeah,
you were just saying, Dermot, as well that. For elite athletes, that mental health is a big issue as well.
Yeah, it's a big issue because I think sometimes how we're wired, I guess, is to succeed at such a high level that when things don't go well, I think the kind of darkness descends a lot with elite athletes, and I'd like to see more help there for that and the welfare side of it. It's something I think there's not enough done in, especially after big championships, after things like the Olympic Games. You know, everybody wants to talk to you in the lead up to the Olympic Games, but you come off the plane, you come home, and all of a sudden you're on your own and you're in your house. And I think that's a very hard experience. And also in retirement, I think it's a really big issue because you kind of go from a very public life and everybody wanting you, the way I describe it, everyone wanting you to bring home medals, to you're very disposable, no one really cares. That's how it sort of feels.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think it's a very important area. I would like a lot more to be done on it.
Well, you're in a position now, you have a voice. Oh my God, Brezzy just nailed it. That is anxiety. And just being to talk about panic attacks with my 7-year-old, she panics going into school, no services available to help, don't know what to do.
We're going to change that. Hopefully the educational system will start bringing in self-awareness and stuff like that, and mindfulness for primary school, because I still remember Anne and Barry books from primary school. So we're getting the whole kind of, oh, they wouldn't know what you're talking. Of course they will. Okay. Kids that age are very open to, they're like sponges.
And we need to build resilience, isn't it? Coping mechanisms.
Yeah, and that's all it is.
Thanks to both of you for coming. And thanks, because Derval is one of our judges. Give her a round of applause and she'll be there on Friday. Brezzy, good luck with Teenage Kicks, which starts tomorrow night on RT2 at 10 o'clock in The Voice in the new year. We were made feel completely at home here in the mixing bowl this morning. So thanks to all of you, but particularly thanks to the proprietor of the mixing bowl, Anya. Thank you very much, Anya. With a heavy heart, we leave Ballybunion and we make our way out to the N25 between Cork and Waterford, and we'll be broadcasting there from JJ's tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Dermot and Dave are on the way. We'll talk to you then. Good luck. See you. Bye.
Best in Ireland Awards, all this week on The Ray D'Arcy Show.
Today FM and Bord Gáis Energy, rewarding, helpful people.